Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. I have Rob Finnerty with me today. He is the host of Wake Up America on Newsmax, and you can tune in to see him every weekday morning from 9:30 a.m. to 6:30 to 9 a.m. And today I wanted to have him on because a few things. Obviously, I really love watching what he does every day on Newsmax, but also I kind of wanted that perspective of someone who's in New York right now, as we see everything going on with Colombia, with these protests across the country, which I think has been shocking to all of us. I mean, even my sister's watching, she went to Vanderbilt, she's watching Vanderbilt. She's like, I'm glad they are actually doing something. But it's so weird to see how different it is across the country right now. And we're still thinking of our friends over in Israel and what's going on over there with these attacks. And you watch, and the attacks in Israel, they've increased while this is going on, with Iran and its proxies attacking with hundreds of drones and missiles. And I am so blessed right now to have this partnership with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And they are actually on the ground right now over there in Israel. So if you're wondering, how can I help these people? How can I help to address all of these urgent needs? Because I'm not there. Well, IFCJ is, and I'm partnering with them today to help you guys help them. I want to do the same thing. So listen, your life-saving donation can provide those security needs that they have, like placing bomb shelters in their communities and making sure that they have all of the supplies. When that siren goes off, those folks only have 15 seconds or less to get to safety. IFCJ has helped to renovate and install nearly 3,000 bomb shelters to date. As Israel and her people live with the harsh reality of terror every single day, you guys, you can be the support. You can help address those emergency security needs like food. I mean, think about that. As simple as food and bomb shelters, flak jackets, all these other essentials that we don't have to worry about, you can help. We are asking our listeners today to give $50 or any other amount you can give to provide life-saving aid to these folks. Just visit supportifcj.org. It's one word, supportifcj.org, and you can help right now too. Now, I want to bring Rob in because you're listening to me talk about what we can do for the folks on the ground in Israel. But what is going on in New York City right now? When we look at Columbia University, I mean, we're seeing windows broken out. They were given this demand that they had to move out. They could not have this occupation on campus anymore. And instead, they went completely the other direction. What are you seeing on the ground?
So really shocking. We came in this morning ready to do the show with one plan, and this all happened, you know, overnight at Columbia. So plans changed. I don't know how at this point, this academic president at Columbia, Manoush Shafiq, I don't know how she keeps her job. Claudine Gay and Liz McGill, they were forced to resign or fired for doing a lot less than what we're seeing happening at Columbia. But overnight, and again, I'm all for protests. Protesting is part of our right to live in this country, the best country on the planet. But when you start breaking the law, you've got to break up these protests. The NYPD is not allowed on campus. All these campuses are private. Campus security, or whatever they call them now, like school safety officers, they clearly can't handle what's going on. Last night, broken windows. Students formed a barricade with chairs and desks and furniture on the inside. On the outside, they locked arms. They used zip ties to lock all the doors. And then they blacked out the windows in this one academic building, Hamilton Hall, so people can't see what's going on inside. Not only is that a fire hazard, but it's a huge risk to anybody inside the building if something were to go wrong. So I don't know why. I don't know when it's appropriate for the National Guard to be called. But to me, this is when you do something like that for the safety of people inside and outside that building. And right now, nothing's being done.
You make a really good point, because you're reminding me of the Chaz zone that we had. We saw in 2020, but we ended up with two young people murdered in there.
Rapes.
We had multiple rapes. Right. How did they even know what's going on? You said something. You said, I'm all for protests. And I agree with that. I think what has happened, though, because we saw that happening in Seattle and people were just like, oh, it's going to be the summer of love. We'll wait. And they became rioters. They became violent. They started stealing from each other. I mean, I remember when these young people were like, I have to laugh because they're like, I had my iPad out and the people in the Chaz zone said that we should share. And so someone just took it. Now I don't have it anymore. Yes. Welcome to socialism. This is a great project for you. It sucks, doesn't it? But I think they got used to the fact that protests meant something different. I mean, look at Minneapolis and what happened there. And you had Kamala Harris saying, stay in the streets. That was not a protest. That's a riot. There's a difference.
Yeah. And Kamala Harris was a candidate back then, before the 2020 election. So she was able to donate to bail funds and try to bail these criminals out. And that helped her. I think that helped them in 2020 to win the election. Here we are 4 years later. It's a much different situation. That was also, we were dealing with the pandemic, and that was all post George Floyd. Much different circumstance. Now, Kamala and Joe are running for president again. And this is, I don't know how the administration doesn't pay a serious political price for what's going on at these schools. And I just think about it like this. If you were a senior in 2020, and you had your graduation canceled because of COVID. If you go to one of, now it's like three dozen schools that have canceled graduation ceremony, canceled commencement. 4 years later, you're not going to have a graduation ceremony. That's going to affect you for the rest of your life. And I don't know how that doesn't impact Joe and Kamala on election day. If I'm a parent or a grandparent and I've, you know, given money to a 529 and saved and done all the right things to have this one moment when I can see my son or daughter graduate from college or one of these universities, and this happens, I'm blaming the administration.
But they're not saying anything. I mean, I even in Michigan, we have Rashida Tlaib, who is one of the people who leads the charge on these discussions, on these protests. I mean, she had a protest in the Capitol and everybody's like, oh, that's different. It's Rashida Tlaib having this protest. We don't have to get mad about this one. But she's leading all of these things. And yet we don't have even the Michigan delegation coming out and saying, this is not okay. We do not agree with what these people are doing. I think it's kind of like they started this situation with 2020. They encouraged this back then. They were okay with all of these things happening. And now they don't know how to come out and say, this is not okay.
Yeah. And it's scary. I don't know what it's going to take yesterday at the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre had her normal Monday briefing, and she was asked about this. And she said, yeah, we condemn anti-Semitic protests, but they want it both ways. She didn't come out and say these campuses should be cleared. Claudine Gay, you know, yesterday, 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. in New York was the deadline to clear out this, all the encampment, the tents and all the, you know, this is funded from the outside. Not to mention, nobody's talking about the fact that the majority of these rioters now, this has gone from protest to riot, certainly at UNC, certainly at Columbia. These are riots now. We called it that in 2020. You've got to call it that now. But the majority of these people, one kid was interviewed and he was like, in his 30s. I was like, this is definitely not an undergrad. A lot of these
people, they're compensated. These are not students.
Agitators. Yeah, they're not students.
And how do you even know? Because they have their faces masked. You know, this is something we've talked about in Michigan. I mean, we have an anti-Klan law here that means you can't have your face in a mask too. And when you're harassing people or publicly protesting, you cannot, which obviously is an old law. But the question is, why should you be allowed to say that you are Hamas, which is a terrorist organization? And I find this very interesting. They're saying we are Hamas. They're saying death to America. They're making statements that are in line with terrorism. And I think that we also have to say students of this age are the prime target for radicalization. These groups, these terrorist groups, they know what they're doing. This is what they do. They radicalize young people and they create terrorists. You see a huge swath of people across these campuses that are praying five times a day to Allah. Wait a minute. These are not students who are of the Islamic faith. They're suddenly being dragged into an extremist faction. And I'm like, why isn't the FBI investigating this or saying anything about it?
Yeah, they're too busy writing down the license plate numbers of Catholics, you know, when they're right at church on Sunday. Seriously. Here are some of the chants that we've heard just at Columbia. Yes, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. Let's kill every Jew. It's right to rebel. Israel can go to hell. To your point, yeah, it's beyond indoctrination. Hamas is recruiting. They are actively recruiting. And Hamas, so the Nazis were, that was the government in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Hamas is the government in Gaza. So you can say they are the Nazis of today. Or you could say, fine, we're in New York City. These people are saying, Hamas, we love you. That would be like saying Al-Qaeda, we love you, you know, on September 12th, right after 9/11, and doing that, you know, just blocks from ground zero. That's where we are. That's how sick this is. This is not like protesting the Vietnam War in 1968 and leading up to the election in 68. This is completely different. And I was talking to my parents were both in college in that time period. And they were like, yeah, we had guest speakers from both sides come onto campus and talk to students. We had like candlelight vigils. It was a lot. There was some violence, certainly in the late 60s. But not what we're seeing right now. And it's not as coordinated. You know, these chants, what you're seeing on campus at Columbia, you're seeing on campuses out in California. Now, how does that happen? They're not watching the news. No, it's because it's all coordinated. The signs, instead of there being like poster boards that you buy and then write something with a Sharpie, all these signs are manufactured and printed and then distributed at these campuses. That's coordination. Who's funding it? Is it Soros-connected groups? Is it dark money like we saw in 2020 connected to various Democratic boosters? I don't know.
But why at a time when we have the director of the FBI coming out and saying there are red flags everywhere? We should be concerned about an attack on U.S. soil at any time. It could be coming. And yet you have students who are threatening this. Death to America. Take the United States down. In the midst of just receiving these proof of life videos of hostages that are still being held by Hamas, and they have so little regard for human life that they are out there calling for the rest of the Jewish state to be eliminated. This is unheard of. I think it's interesting that you bring up the 60s because the protests then were really about peace. And they will lie and say this is about a ceasefire, but it's not. They've made it clear what they want. They want Israel wiped off the map.
Yeah. And the ceasefire, that's up to Hamas. That's Hamas's choice. They can lay down their arms at any time. And Israel's going to go into Rafah and they're going to close this thing out. And it doesn't matter what the people on college campuses in the U.S. have to say about it. It's really sad. You're in Michigan, and I think we look at it when we're covering it as this is the Biden, Michigan, maybe Minnesota policy. They don't want to lose the, 16 electoral votes in Michigan in November, so they're letting this happen. And I'm thinking about it now, at what cost? Because now you're alienating every other state just to win Michigan. So at what cost? Are you going to give up? Because if Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's also over for Joe Biden. And the math right now, after that CNN poll on Sunday, the math is in Donald Trump's favor. Now, we've got 6 months to go, but what's it going to take is it going to take one of these students, a Jewish student, is it going to take somebody getting killed or seriously injured for Joe Biden to come out and condemn not only anti-Semitism, but the riots now that we're seeing on campus? Is that what it's going to take? Because that's also going to alienate him to view or to voters. And I just don't understand what the White House's strategy is right now.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
You bring up Michigan, and I think that the reason that they are so concerned about Michigan is because of that 100,000 strong uncommitted vote that happened in the primary, which they were not expecting. Even Gretchen Whitmer was out saying, this is going to be 10,000. It's no big deal. We've got this under control. I'm phone banking. She was calling people. She thought that it was going to be fine. And I think that even if it had just been our Arab American community, they would have said, okay, this is a statement. We're going to win these folks back. And that was essentially what she said. She came out and was pretty much like, hey, they're going to make a statement, but they're with us in the end. They don't like her, first of all. But the other thing is, it was the University of Michigan and Michigan State
right.
that came out and voted uncommitted. And I think this is kind of like when you're Frankenstein becomes more than you can handle, because they were the ones that put these radical ideas on college campuses. All of this, you know, protest, extremism, socialism, communism. And now the experiment has become too big. They can't handle it anymore. And really, the fact that they aren't talking at all makes me believe that they are crapping their pants behind the scenes going, this is out of control. We have no idea what to do. And what are they going to have the guy that steals women's suitcases at the airport fix it? You know, they don't even have a real staff.
Right, right. Or Rachel Levine.
Right, exactly.
She's been very effective.
Like, let me go check on all of their mental health.
Right.
Oh, I think that the zip ties are healthy for
right,
them.
Right.
That's
honestly
how they identify.
I saw a poll, this is 2 weeks ago, that Trump was losing to Biden in Minnesota, right next to Michigan, by only 2 points.
That's shocking.
Now, I know that Look, Minnesota will likely go for Biden. But just the fact that Trump's within two, that's the margin of error.
Right. Right.
Again, it's 6 months to election day. May 1st is right around the corner. But let's say the election were tomorrow. Trump not only wins in the Electoral College, I think he wins the popular vote like Reagan 1984, like landslide Trump win. Because people, it's not, sometimes when we're doing the show, we'll make a list of things that people are paying too much for. I'm like, guys, producers, I'm going to save you like an hour. Everything costs too much right now. Everything right. costs too much. That's America. The economy is the entire election. And I think the border and what we're seeing on these college campuses, all of that just only, that adds to it. That only adds to it.
There are little signs. And I think people were like, oh, you're a Republican, so you're saying this. But even this morning, I took my car in to get an oil change. And as I walked out, all of the guys who had their little stations, they were like, is Trump going to win? Run again. Get Gretchen Whitmer out of here. We have got to make sure that the state goes back.
In the late 70s, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, 76, and he did it again in 80. Check that, 84. This is, again, it's anecdotal. But to your story about getting your oil changed, when I get into the city, I park my car in the same garage right in the building. And the guys that work there, these are not guys that were Trump voters 4 years ago, but they're Trump voters now. And they know what I do. But every morning I have a little, you know, exchange with them. And they're like, you know, Sleepy Joe. And they, you know, they make fun of Joe Biden. I'm seeing this everywhere. In 1976, Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show, he would poll the audience in the studio audience. He'd be like, how many of you like Gerald Ford? And by round of applause, how many like Jimmy Carter? And Jimmy Carter got a louder round of applause. Carter won. He did that again in 80 or 84. And the round of applause for Reagan, I guess it was 80 for Reagan beating Carter. And Carter got like four claps and it was like overwhelming for Reagan. And that wasn't what the polls were saying, but that's what the American people were saying. And it's anecdotal, but your oil change story, I totally buy that.
Oh my gosh, did you see Pelosi trying to pretend like he created this great economy and all these jobs? She comes out, she's on CNN. It was CNN, right, Sarah? Yeah, she's on CNN and she's like, you know, Trump had a terrible economy and he lost more jobs than any other president. And Joe Biden has brought all these jobs back. And even the CNN host was like, I mean, it was a global pandemic. And she just went off on this woman. She's like, oh, I didn't know you were a Trump apologist. And this lady's like, literally no one would call me that.
Right,
and,
right.
But they're losing it. And that's what, when you see Nancy Pelosi losing it, I mean, she has been in control for a very long time. And I know that people remember her ripping up the speech and they're like, oh, that was a moment where she lost it. But to get where she had been as the Speaker of the House and the total control that she had over the Democrat Party for so many years, and I believe still has, she doesn't lose her cool easily. And so the fact that she would lose her cool when they say, you know, I mean, he had a little help. This was a global pandemic. Of course, that is a fact. I give the CNN lady props for actually saying it,
right.
But she lost her. Oh, Sarah's actually holding up a sign saying no, it was MSNBC. So that's even more incredible that MSNBC was like, totally. No.
Yeah, I think it was Katie Turr. And when I heard that, I was
yes.
like, wait, really? Yeah, and it's so the unemployment rate's at like a 50-year low. And I think, yeah, Joe Biden, if he knew it were legitimate, he'd be like, look, the unemployment rate's at a 50-year low. It's pandemic jobs that have come back, but it's also there are more side hustles right now. More Americans have more than one job than ever before in our history. And you could say, well, that's the way the economy is trending. And I'm like, no, I think if you ask the people that have two or three jobs, all of these side hustles, I think they'd rather just have one job and have a W-2 and just make it easier than what
right,
they're doing
exactly.
right now.
I mean, when you see the man on the street in New York City saying what he said about Joe Biden and saying it's time for Trump again, it's very interesting because we're looking at two men who have been president. So you don't have a question as to how either of them would be, you know. So when you have the union guy on the side of the road say, we want to go back to Trump, he's saying this from a position of knowing what Trump was, knowing what the community is like under Trump and saying, I want that back. That has to panic the Democrats.
Yeah, you know, we had the correspondents' dinner on Saturday and these are all, I mean, there's no more sycophantic audience than the audience at the Washington Hilton the last Saturday in April for the correspondence dinner. They're like sock puppets, you know, sitting there just nodding their heads, you know, while Biden speaks. on Sunday, CNN comes out with a poll and include if RFK is part of the poll, Trump's leading Biden by 9 points. Take RFK out, he's leading him by 6. To put that into perspective, Trump never had a number like that against Hillary, or certainly not Biden in 2020. But if the roles were reversed and Biden were leading Trump by 9 points, yesterday it would have been wall to wall. This election is over.
Right.
It's a foregone conclusion. If I'm at the White House, what do we do? What can the White House do to shake it up? First of all, they've got to get rid of Karine Jean-Pierre. I know they brought in John Kirby for the tough questions, but that's also a really bad look. Bring in a middle-aged white male, you know, whenever the questions get difficult about
right,
Israel
or
Ukraine.
That's why they can't get rid of her.
Yeah. But at this point, it's about winning an election. And she is so dense. And I mean that literally, she cannot answer a question. It's bad for the administration and it's bad messaging. Yesterday, she was able to condemn anti-Semitism, but not the riots. Why not just go all the way? Just go all the way.
Because they didn't in 2020. They can't. They are so paralyzed by this because they just don't know how to do it. They need the students. They know that the students have gone so far to the left that they can't get them back. And if they can't get the students, they can't win. Look, on election night in Michigan for the gubernatorial race, Michigan State had their polling place open until 11 o'clock at night because they were registering people and having them vote the same day. I'm sure these are students that were registered at home. They're suddenly registering them here in Michigan. But, you know, who's going to be the check on that? I mean, our Secretary of State is a Democrat, right? So they're registering people all night. They know that that is the vote that puts them over the edge. So if they suddenly don't have Jewish people, if they suddenly don't have the college students, and they have minorities turning against them, because let's face it, Hispanics do not like this open border. And the Black community believes that they are losing money under Joe Biden because they are. Everybody is. As you said, it's like we don't have to guess here.
Right.
Everybody is losing money right now. It's a total crap show in the United States. And there's nothing that they can say that's good right now. I mean, what can they offer? That's why Nancy Pelosi's out there like he created all these jobs. And people are like, but did he?
Even like think about student loan forgiveness. Like, do you really want to forgive these students' loans?
Right.
Right now?
I mean, that is a perfect comment right there. That's something that the Republicans should be running away with. These are the kids. And it's weird, too. I was talking to someone about this morning. It's very weird to me that these students who are the best of the best, unless they are not the best of the best, unless they reduce the requirements to get into these schools, would have done everything they did to get into schools like Columbia to then get expelled. Because they locked the doors and broke the windows over a fight that suddenly just learned it. They just learned about this.
Yeah.
Let's not mince words here.
The student body, underinformed, overly emotional, you know, to say the least. The other part of this that is not getting discussed, and I don't know, Tudor, where did you go to school?
University of Kentucky.
Okay, good school.
I know we're in the top 50 most conservative schools, so I'm proud of them.
That's I like that. I went to a small school in Connecticut, Fairfield University, Catholic college. There have not been any protests at Fairfield. I don't remember seeing anything about protests at University of Kentucky. I could be wrong, but no one's talking about this aspect. Now, Fairfield's a good school. Kentucky's a good school. It's not Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, Harvard, Penn, Columbia. It's not an Ivy League school. Where these are happening, for the most part, now there are exceptions, but for the most part, these are the top academic institutions in the country that produce the worst people upon graduation. And all the schools that just produce good people like you and me and just normal, like adjusted, well-adjusted, normal American people, you're not seeing it there. But nobody wants to mention that part of it. You know, and I looked at it, I was like, I wonder if this is happening. Last week when it was happening at more than 125 college campuses, I was like, is Fairfield on that list? No, it's not.
Right, because those kids are probably also not trending to the far left.
Right.
I mean, what we've seen with this, get parents out of lives, pull these kids apart, twist up their emotions. They've done this, and now they don't know how to untwist it. I mean, even John Fetterman, you watch John Fetterman, he's almost become like the comic relief in this because he's like, yeah, shut up. I'm not on your side.
I love
him. Know?
He's great. His brain broke. He had a stroke before the primary in Pennsylvania in May. He healed, And he became a Republican.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's a full Republican because he's still, but he's like, I'm not a progressive. And I would have classified him as a progressive. His outfit choices are still incredibly odd.
Yes.
But I think that it's powerful that he's just going to stand up to these people and not let them go. Before I let you go, though, I do have to bring up animals because.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of an issue on our side. Everybody is wondering who Trump's VP is going to be. So they've been like, you know, there's all these different options. I've heard Ben Carson. I've heard Tim Scott. I've heard Kristi Noem. And I'm pretty sure she just shot her chances of being VP.
She's out of the VP stakes.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over. The book hasn't come out. I read the thing in The Guardian. I don't think there's any way that you can make a case, even if there's a case to be made for shooting a 14-month-old puppy in the head. I don't. And I don't hunt pheasant, but I don't think there's a case to be made for that. And I think Trump's too smart to select somebody like Kristi Noem now. I do think it's interesting that Trump got together with DeSantis, not at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend. Trump went to DeSantis. And I think
and
I said
weird
this a
way
year
he
ago.
Ended that message. Did you notice that?
What's that?
When he put the message out on True Social, and at the end he noted the election day.
I met
with DeSantis. November, what is it? The 3rd or the 5th?
5th.
November 5th will be a big day. I'm like, okay, what are you playing at? I think he's just playing because
Dude,
he loves to play.
Reagan ran with Bush, and they hated each other, and it was a really contentious primary process. And then Reagan said, all right, he's the guy. Kennedy ran with LBJ. They actually hated each other, but Kennedy needed Texas. DeSantis, I think, is the inverse of Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Trump can only serve 4 years, right?
Right.
DeSantis can
serve
eight.
He has to set somebody up who's going to be, and that has been the complaint people have had, is like, well, if something happens to Trump or just the next term, is a Ben Carson the right guy to step in? Is a Tim Scott the right guy to step in? People are looking for that person who's leading. I've noticed that DeSantis has come out with he's been pushing a lot of the I'm leading here tweets. You know, if you're watching what he's doing, that's also interesting because the messages that he's putting out is I am the executive. I can take care of everything. And so I don't see that from these other folks. I mean, certainly not the I'm releasing a book about shooting a dog in the head. So I'm
she's out. And Ben Carson, like I like Ben Carson, but he's kind of sleepy. You know, like there's no wow factor. There's no pop to Ben Carson.
Let me counter that though, because I do think that Trump struggles to have somebody who's not a little bit quiet because he loves to be the guy he doesn't want anybody to overshadow him.
Good point. But he lost in 2020. And now
it's
all about winning now. And I think DeSantis has a lot to like. If Trump wins, he's president for 4 years. That sets up maybe 8 years of Ron DeSantis, just like Reagan for 8 years and Bush for four after that. And he should have beat Clinton, but Ross Perot had a huge impact in the 92 election. This is unpopular, but I think that Nikki Haley is in the conversation as well.
Mm.
Just Pennsylvania primary last week, she got 155,000 votes, 17% of the vote. Trump, his campaign to date has been lights out, but I think they've got to figure out a way to win over those kind of middle of the road, those people that like Nikki Haley, maybe those more center Republicans. They have to figure it out. Pennsylvania was a great example. 20 electoral votes, huge battleground state. If Trump gets that 16% that voted for Haley, Trump wins Pennsylvania. He's probably president. So you can't write off Nikki Haley. I think DeSantis and Haley are the front runners.
That is an interesting thought because I had kind of been thinking Kamala had ruined it for a woman because she's so ridiculous. However, Nikki Haley is a much different person than Kamala Harris.
Cackle free. She comes cackle free.
Not me. That's true. So Trump will be in Michigan this week. We are pre-taping this, so people will hear this after. But I think that Michigan and Wisconsin will be very interesting states. I think that Michigan to me is very important. And I'll just end on this and get your opinion. To me, Michigan is very important because even if you're watching graphics that they put out of federally elected people who are going to have an impact in the country from the Democrat side, Whitmer's picture is there. She is a statewide elected. So I think it's interesting because everybody has said Whitmer has been given the pretty much the marching orders that you deliver Michigan and you go forward. I think she thinks, well, I deliver Michigan and I go into the cabinet and then I'm president. Or we heard a horrifying thing the other day that said that once they get to the convention, if Michigan is going well in the next few months, they swap him out for her. I don't see how she and Kamala are on a ticket together, but I don't know because the young people love her.
Really interesting. I hadn't heard that, but that's really fascinating. I do think there's something to Joe maybe not making it to November 5th, to Election Day. Again, it's 6 months, but he's taken a turn for the worse. And this is what happens with dementia or whatever he's dealing with between the ears. But clearly things are not going well for Joe Biden upstairs. He can't get through a single scripted speech. And he committed with Howard Stern to debating Trump. Trump, like I said, I think the campaign so far has been lights out. I think that a debate with Biden could definitely benefit Trump, but it could also be a trap because Biden he has been able to get up for these things in the past. Certainly in 2020, his State of the Union wasn't great, but I think a lot of people expected him to like fall asleep on stage. That's a tricky one for me, but I'm not convinced that Biden makes it. I mean, he's 81 going on 82 right after Election Day. So something could happen with his health. But clearly, you know, upstairs, the cheese has slipped off the cracker for him.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Lisa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you have to remember that a debate between Trump and Hillary was equal footing. She was able to give as good as she got. That was an interesting debate. There were a lot of comments made that could be clipped, and it just felt like equal footing. Two of the same warriors battling each other. The problem with Trump debating Biden is because he is frail, because he is fragile. If he pushes, it will turn people away from him because everybody kind of sees that frailness in Joe Biden. And even though they hate it, you don't want to exploit it. And so for all of the people out there that are always like, oh, I want this debate. You just have to remember that when you have someone who is strong, who is confident, who is able to push back on someone who should be in a nursing home, that could go poorly.
Yeah, I think so. If you ever watched that movie Game Change, it's based on the book, 2008. Biden only had one VP debate with Sarah Palin. And the whole Biden team said, listen, because this is back when Joe still had a brain. So he was, successful, had been in the Senate for a long time, Irish, gifted gab. He was, we didn't hear anything about a stutter back then. Suddenly now,
right? Yeah.
Joe Biden redeveloped a stutter in his 80s. Remarkable. But they told him, they said, listen, when you're debating Sarah Palin, let her do 90% of the talking. Because people know who you are. You don't need to introduce yourself to a national audience. That's what he did. The debate went off. It was fine. I think, SNL obviously parodied Sarah Palin. If I were on Trump's team right now and he debates Joe Biden, I'd say, look, Mr. President, let Joe Biden do 99% of the talking because he will get himself into trouble. You don't need to go after Joe Biden. People know who you are, but let him tell stories about how his uncle was eaten by other people. let him go down that lane, which he will do.
Get him into some good old cannibalism, yeah. Maybe a swimming pool.
The poor people of New Guinea. But let him do that. And I think that's the only winning strategy for Trump, which is going to be very hard for Trump if you know Trump in a debate setting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you know Trump in any setting, he likes to be the person talking.
Exactly.
And so that is definitely the challenge. So when everybody is like, I want to see them debate, I had somebody say to me the other day, I want to see them debate because I would like to know who I'm voting for. And I'm like, come on. I mean, it's different when you have two candidates. Like for me and Gretchen Whitmer, that was a different story. People really genuinely wanted to see who the two of us were. You know these two guys. I'm not married to needing a debate, but I do think that there should be some sort of requirement that he is out in public and people get to see who he really is. I'd rather just have him do a town hall, Joe Biden, because I think that's enough for people to go, yeah, he's not okay. But we will keep following it and see what happens.
Yeah, sounds good. I think Joe Biden not doing interviews is a big tell. That's a big
right.
tell. No one-on-one interviews. So like, I would just like to see Joe Biden answer 10 questions in a row and give reasonable answers.
I don't know if you saw that weird Drew Barrymore interview with Kamala Harris. Why does she have to be, first of all, Drew Barrymore is very strange where she pops a squat on the couch and she gets right in your face. But she was like, right now, we don't need Kamala Harris. We need Mamala Harris. And I saw someone like, this is the problem. Democrats think that these people are surrogate parents and they're supposed to be leaders. We don't want somebody who is going to come in and make the bed and give us a peanut butter and jelly at night. We want somebody who's actually going to be able to lead and sit down with our adversaries and our allies. And right now, these people can't do it.
Such a good point. Just don't screw everything up, please.
Right.
That's it.
But that's already happened.
Yes.
Rob Finnerty, thank you so much for your time today. It's always fun having you on. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time. Have a blessed day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.